Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new experience. Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man. You got a question for RLM? Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. I'm your host, Global Happiness Specialist Rebecca L. Norrington. But guess what? It just hit me this week. I'm doing a major rebranding. So instead of Happiness Specialist, I'm rebranding myself after all of these years, after all of these decades, to Internal Peace Specialist. Internal Peace Specialist. But, of course, it hasn't been changed on the website or on my social media yet, but it will be very, very shortly, within a couple of days, because this just hit me. This just hit me 2 or 3 days ago. You know, this happiness thing. Oh, first of all, hello and welcome to the show. Thank you for being here. You know, the show is being found more and more. I'm getting new people listening. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing the show. Welcome to the new listeners all over the planet, all over the globe. Whew. When I say happiness specialist, a.k.a. internal peace specialist, I got to find a way to make that thing, make those words flow. Let me just stick with happiness specialist just for today, just for this morning. And the reason why I felt, had this real, thank you for asking, the reason why I had this shift in branding is because, and you know, it's been a lot of years, a couple of decades with this happy word. And so I'm getting, when I get more information, it's just that there's so many people with so many different definitions of happy and what makes them happy. But when I say internal peace, everybody knows what the heck I'm talking about. Everybody knows you can feel this internal peace. And I use it, when I say internal peace, for me, it is the same as being happy. So that's why I was a little happy. But internal peace is really the draw, is really the search. Because the people out there that have everything, I'm talking about the titans, I'm talking about the big, the icons, the most powerful people in the world, from the leaders to, you know, I'm using air quotes here, leaders to the movers and the shakers. I'm not going to put any real labels. The movers and the shakers, you know, looking for, when I achieve this, when I make this. I was looking at somebody's bucket list the other day, and one of the things on their bucket list was making $100 million. Now, that's great, but that's not going to be on my bucket list. On my bucket list is, I'm getting off topic really quick. My bucket list is more of a personal growth. And everything else is going to fall into place. So when I say, what do I want? More consciousness, more understanding, more openness, more the ability to be at peace, the ability to find more peace, the ability to be rooted, to be rooted and stay there, be at peace at all times. Those are my type of things to add on the bucket list, but I digress, as usual. Let me just start from the very beginning and give you my definition of happiness. My definition of happiness is the ability to be at peace. See, there's that peace word. I gotta switch it happy to peace. The ability to be at peace regardless of what happens and regardless of what doesn't happen. The ability to be at peace, the ability to hold on to feel that, to be rooted in internal peace regardless of what happens and regardless of what doesn't happen. That means that whatever is going on in the external world is not affecting, is not moving your internal peace in one at all, at all. Doesn't have the power. Doesn't have the power to get deep, dive right in and shake you up, because you're rooted so deeply in inner peace. And it's to the point, and I'm telling you, when you practice, the other thing is practice, scratch the practice, happiness is a practice skill. Having internal peace, being able to dig deep and still scratch the dig deep, just being able to be that identity. In other words, that internal peace is now your identity. That's who you are. You are peace from within. That's what you are. And it is a practice. Happiness is a practice skill, and that internal peace is also a practice skill. And I'm so excited to share with you what happened to me this week. And it was evidence of, it's more evidence of what I practice, and it was evidence to me, I made a big growth. I grew this week and I never even knew that I, let me say, needed, well, that's not true, because this is how I know I need to grow in an area. Let me just cut to the chase. This is how I know I need more growth. Regardless of the topic, I know I need more growth when I am not at peace with what I'm saying, what I'm hearing, or what I'm doing. It is a conflict with the internal peace, and I can feel it. You know how you can feel, oh, let me write this down, because I have to remember this other point too. Hold on. Just don't want to forget it. And if I don't write it down, I may forget it, dear audience. So the other thing, as far as this being, when I say internal peace, it really becomes your identity. Let me just step back to that. This internal peace becomes your identity. It becomes who you are, meaning that it doesn't matter what happens in your outside world. You are still going to be at peace. Is that possible? The answer is yes. With practice, anything is possible, especially in the personal growth, especially when you are concentrating on personal growth. Anything is possible with practice. Because if I can do it, you can do it. So one of the things, so let's just step back. So I gave you the definition of happiness, the ability to be at peace regardless of what happens and regardless of what doesn't happen. Now, this happiness, a.k.a. inner peace, when I say it's a practice skill, it's like any other skill. The more you commit to the practice, and it is a daily practice, it's a moment-by-moment practice, the better the results. It's very simple. It's very easy. And where do you do all the practicing? Where is most of the practicing occurring? You all know, if you've listened to the show, it's in the mirror. The practice is done in the mirror. But let me share with you exactly. And see, that's one of the reasons why not a lot of people like to practice. Who wants to look in the mirror for all of the solutions, that are going to promise to bring you in more peace? Because that's the practice. The practice is, where is the peace? Where is this vibration of peace? Where is this vibration of contentment? Where is it? Well, when you practice, guess what? You never lose it. Anyway, let's get back to the measuring growth, because that's the exciting topic this week. And it has to do with my growth, of course. Why, of course. One of my biggest beliefs, and it has been since I remember, since I was turned 18. Let me just back up. My last spanking, and I mean a spanking with a belt, lay down on the bed, there's the belt, wrapped around my father's hand, right on my ass, spanking to the point where, you know, I don't know if any of you out there got spanked, but spanking to the point where I always had marks on my legs. Yeah, I mean, if you did that in this day and age, my father would have been reported to CPS. Marks on the legs, marks on the back, marks on the butt. That's how my father used to spank me. Last spanking was 17. And I swore that if I ever had any children, I would never, ever spank them. Ever. There are other ways to teach children. I know there's a big controversy, but hitting a child, these are my beliefs. This is my belief. I think the only reason why people hit children, spank children, is because they can get away with it. And I know this isn't a topic, but I will get to my personal growth story in just, let me just give you a little bit of background. So I believe that there's no reason to hit a child. Children make mistakes. There's other ways to teach them without hitting them. And when I'm confronted with anyone, I mean, you're talking decades here, from my 20s to my 30s, my 40s, my 50s. You're talking decades of, that is my belief, you don't hit a child. The only reason why people hit children is because they can get away with it. Because it's okay to hit a child. And if you really think about it, that's really crazy, and I would throw in the word, I'm not going to throw in that word, but it's off. You're hitting someone that is defenseless, that is smaller. I don't see any purpose in it. I just, there's no reason. There's always other ways. So for decades, 4, 5 decades, I've been, if anybody says anything about spanking, oh, you know that I'm on it. I'm voicing my opinion, my strong opinion. One of my arguments is, well, you make a lot of mistakes. Would you like to get hit if you make mistakes? I'm talking to an adult. You make mistakes, don't you? You're not doing everything right all the time. How would you like to get hit as an adult? How would you like to get hit? So, and of course, throughout decades and decades, there's only been one person that said to me, and it was a woman, and she says, you know, I may have to rethink hitting a child. And I don't want to, let me throw this in too. And, you know, I was raised by a black family. And in the black community, there's a lot of spanking the children. There's a lot of spanking children. And one of the things that one of my best friends told me is that it was passed down from slavery. You know, the slaves were whipped, and I know this is a, I'm going off on a topic, but I just want to make my point. Excuse me. Slaves were whipped, and so that spanking and hitting and whipping was really, really passed down in the black community, really passed down. In fact, a few years ago, one of the football players, his name is Adrian Peterson, really got into a lot of trouble because somebody posted a picture of him, of his child, after he spanked him. Anyway, back to that. I am against spanking, big advocate. If anybody's in my presence and they say they spank children, I can't get any louder. I can't develop. I cannot bring my point any quicker. But the problem that I have had over every single decade, I mean, let's just say 4 decades of announcing my belief about spanking, about not spanking the child, has been met with opposition. Thank you. I couldn't remember that word. Opposition, except for that one person in 40 years. 40 years, one person. So every time I voiced my opinion, my inner peace, always there was a shift. I wasn't very peaceful when I was voicing my opinion about hitting a child. I didn't know how to do that. And last week was the first time, and I'm very conscious of it, and last week was the first time two people within 3 days I had to voice my opinion. Well, I was in the position to voice my opinion. The first one was an acquaintance that I've known them for years. And this particular person doesn't even have children, and they're voting for spanking children because of how children are just so out of control these days. So, of course, I went back and forth with him, debated it, the same thing, how would you like to get hit, on and on and on. Two days later, I am sitting with, I'm actually fishing and sitting with this man who I just met maybe 3 weeks ago, and you know, fishing community is pretty small anyway. I'm sitting with him, and this is the first time we were chatting, and he brought up children, and his grandson is unruly, talks back, disrespectful, the whole thing. And he said that kid, my grandson, needs a spanking, a really strong spanking. Well, he didn't feel like he could do it because he's the grandfather. He's not the father, not the parent. And he didn't feel like he didn't want to butt in, or he didn't feel like it was his place to even say anything. So when that child who was 7 years old, 8 years old, was acting up, temper tantrums and all of that, this man who I was talking to, he was very upset. He was very upset that this kid was able to just be so rude to adults. Now, here we go. This is exactly where I step in. After four decades of announcing and speaking and saying that I do not agree with anyone hitting a child, I don't agree with, all of these years, four decades of boisterous, loud, argumentative, trust me, I made myself heard, but there was no peace in it. There was no peace in it, ever. For that one time when one woman said, well, I'm going to have to rethink it. So the second time that topic came up this week was the first time in my life where I didn't say anything. I didn't agree with spanking his grandson. I didn't agree with hitting children, and I didn't say anything. Now, because I discussed this with one of my friends, and there are two ways to look at it. Being so passionate about it and being very adamant that I don't think the children should get hit, one would say, well, why? You always speak out. Even speak out. Stand your ground. Speak out. And I totally get it. And trust me, I am a speaker-outer type person. But for this one time, I didn't say anything. I was quiet. And that was an exercise in growth right there. Just to be able to be quiet. I still didn't agree, but to be quiet about it. I had never done that in four decades. Never. Now, that doesn't mean that I need to be quiet when that topic comes up. What that means is I have another tool in my arsenal. I have another way to behave as opposed to the same way I had been behaving and saying and talking and introducing my opinion into the conversation. I mean, I've been doing it the other way for 4 decades. So I know how to do that. But I didn't know how to be quiet. When that topic came up, I didn't know how to just let it go. I didn't know how to not say anything. And by not saying anything, let me say this. Saying something for those 4 decades, there was never any peace behind it. By not saying anything a few days ago, there was a little bit of peace that I found. There was a little bit of peace that I experienced. There was a tad of peace with not talking, with not sharing, with not jumping in like I always do. And that's what I'm talking about as far as measuring growth. Growth is evidence. The evidence of growth can only be found when you're practicing self-awareness. When you're practicing before you even say anything, what is my energy behind what I'm going to say? How am I going to vibrate? In other words, before you even say it, you can tell. I'm talking to you, my dear audience. You can tell whether that what you say is going to bring peace to you. We're not even talking about the other person because they don't, you know, you're the one that is the most powerful. So peace to you. Can there be peace found by being quiet, even though you don't agree? I said yes, and I experienced it. Now, that just showed me that, and it may sound simple, but it showed me that I don't have to speak every time I'm strongly passionate, especially in my personal life, passionate about someone that has the total opposite perspective, because there was no way that this man was going to change his mind. I mean, he was an older guy anyway. Older meaning, you know what, scratch that. I don't know if he could ever change his mind. I can't get into his head, but I know it was hard for me. I don't see myself changing my mind. Yes, it's okay to hit a child. My point is growth is so small, can be so small, and not only small, sometimes not even noticeable. Just not saying, just not voicing my opinion for a small moment, for a moment, was huge for me. And now I know I can do it. Now I know I don't have to say or comment. I thought it was very powerful. The other thing, let me talk about anger for a minute. I know this is a happiness show, but let me talk about anger. Let me talk about my anger. even though I'm a happiness specialist, I can get angry. And when I talk about anger, you know, I always go, it's not the story, it's the season. So there's no way I'm going to put a story on my anger. It was just a season. It was just a time for the volcano to erupt. So the anger, I'm not going to attach a story to it because we already know that. The emotions come and the emotions go. But the story is the one. The story is the one that either brings you peace or doesn't. And when you attach a story to it, usually it's not a very peaceful story. So there, and the stories can be illusions in the first place. So let me talk about a time when I was really angry and I was driving and I was really angry. And when I get angry, I was noticing my shoulders get tense, my neck gets tight, my hands get tight. You know, you get a little tight, your muscles get tight. Well, let me just speak for myself. My muscles get tight. You know, when I'm angry, I'm getting energy, and I'm clenching teeth, and you muster in some anger. I have to have some tight muscles. I can't be angry and I'm a wet noodle at the same time. No, I got to tense up. I got to steam has to come out of my ears. I was talking to someone on the phone. I said, I'm so angry to fry an egg on my head. And I've been doing anger the same way. The tense. And all of a sudden, the universe said to me, the universe just inspired me. I heard a voice that said, can you do anger? You can still be angry. You could still get, you know, you're going through that your anger phase. It's time for you to erupt. There's no story. You can still be angry, but do you have to be so tense? Can you be angry with relaxed muscles? The universe is asking me this question. Can you be angry with your muscles relaxed? Can you be angry with your shoulders down? Can you be angry with a loose hand? Can you be angry taking deep breaths? Because I wasn't ready to give it up yet. You know, that coming from being angry all the time when I was younger in my teens and my 20s, I mean, in 30s, there was always something to get pissed off over. So I'm very familiar with the anger, and very, very comfortable, quite frankly, very comfortable. I'm not one to say, oh, don't want to get angry. No, I do it. I'm pretty good at it. Well, I used to be really good at it. But experiencing this anger and then the universe asking me at the same time, can you relax your muscles? Can you just let those shoulders down? You keep your anger. And for the first time, in my life, at that time, I relaxed my shoulders. And I didn't really want to give up the anger yet. I was enjoying it. I was enjoying the sensation. You know, you get a little different sensation as opposed to just walking around peaceful all the time. It's a nice little change. I'm still alive. Angry with your muscles relaxed. Angry with a limp wrist. Angry with loose fingers. Angry with deep breaths. And my challenge and question to you, my dear audience, is what can you do different? What can you do differently? What can you do differently than what you've been doing? How can you change it up? How can you do something that different than you've been doing for decades? See, the challenge is the intention is to grow. The intention is to stretch. The intention is to expand. And you can't grow and expand. Well, scratch it, you can't. And usually growth and expanding from your consciousness to your muscles requires action. Requires you doing something different. So how often do you notice, do you monitor, do you even engage in, are you excited about doing something different? Doing something different for what reason? To experience more peace, to experience more internal peace, to experience more happiness. That's why. The practice is, when I say happiness is a practice skill, the first part of the practice starts with gradually eliminating the behaviors that have been proven to subtract from happiness. or proven to subtract from your internal peace. How's that? So the first part of the practice is to gradually eliminate all those behaviors that have been proven to subtract from your inner peace. Proven. And what are some of those behaviors that have been proven to subtract from inner peace? Well, one of them is comparing yourself to others, blaming someone or blaming the circumstances for how you feel. Worrying. Lack of acceptance. Judgment. And I know this is a hard one. Believing words have power. Noticing what someone else is doing. Getting in, being in someone else's business. Impatience. All of these activities, all of these behaviors I just listed, subtract from your internal peace, subtract from your peace, subtract from your happiness. I'm going to start using peace more. So the first part of the practice, if you want to experience more happiness, more peace in your life, is eliminating the behaviors that have been proven to subtract from your peace. The second part of the practice is cultivating, nurturing the behaviors that have been proven to add to happiness. And what are those? Acceptance, trust, don't take anything personally, laughing out loud, self-awareness, humble the ego. When I say humble the ego, I mean take a crowbar and hit the ego right behind the knees. Cripple it. You're the power, not the ego. Be yourself. Choose your focus. Choose your perspective. And being okay with uncertainty. Being okay with uncertainty means you are okay with however this life is going to unfold. Because, you know, the control or thinking that you have control over what happens, we all know that we do not have control over what happens. I know the programming is thinking that you do, but you really don't. Anything could happen to disrupt anything that you, from the mail not arriving to, here we go, a global pandemic. How's that for proof of lack of control? Thinking that you have control over anything that can happen or would happen, no, the only thing you have control over is all what's going on inside. The external, not too much control. Internal, total control. That's the power. That's the good news. When I talk about being able to do something different, finding evidence of growth, changing, I found a person, and his name is Robin Sharma. Just found him last week, maybe a week and a half ago. And this guy is supposedly one of the top leadership leadership speakers or authors in the world. and I'm really interested and I'm really into it. When I used to talk about being inspired, in other words, there wasn't anything I should do. There was only things I was inspired to do. And I open it up. You know that I share the people that I learn from. And this Robin Sharma has taught me in the last week and a half more than I remember learning in the last few years. And I'm talking about as far as habits, structure. That's what I'm talking about, structure and habits. And sticking with the habits. And one of the things is, one of his teachings is, it's called the 5 a.m. Club. And I know I'm getting off a little bit. 5 a.m. Club. Well, this is my day. This is day 8. I'm in the 5 a.m. Club. And it's all about, the things that he teaches is about rewiring your brain, rewiring your mind, rewiring your habits. And it's the same thing when I talk about practicing happiness as a practice skill. It is about the practice, everyone. The practice is what takes you to the next level. The daily practice, the constant practice. You never stop practicing. You all know that I'm a football fan, and in the football, they're out practicing. The football teams are out practicing now. Anything you want to master, get better, accomplish, needs practice. The greatest chefs in the world practice. The greatest artists, musicians, doctors, landscapers, speakers, all fishermen, all require practice. And with that, you never get bored. There is always something to do, especially if you're practicing, especially if your goal, especially if your intention is personal growth, spiritual growth. It requires practice. The interesting thing, and I'm just going to bring him up again, the interesting thing that Robin Sharma says is that he talks about, you know, the Warren Buffetts, the Steve Jobs, Wozniak, Richard Branson, you know, all these huge names, how they get done what few people do, but what's not said and what's not mentioned is people that have all of this, that have everything, and I mean everything that money can buy, are still in search for that internal peace. In my unhumble opinion, that is the ultimate. I don't care how many millions of dollars, how many yachts, how many trips, how many people, your health, you're not feeling that internal peace. You can't reach down. You can't feel that. You can't feel that. Then what do you have? What do you have? The search. What are us humans really searching, looking for? What are they looking for? What are they searching for? You know that there's a search because of the constant accumulating. I want 300 cars. And listen, I'm not judging. You want to be a collector of antique cars, stamps, paintings, million-dollar paintings, artwork. Yeah, hey. The problem becomes, and in fact, remember I told you I talked to two people last week with the spanking. And the first person said, when I go, I want to take my collection of jukeboxes with me, my wine collection and my jukebox collection. Now, I don't know about you, but that jukebox and that $300 bottle of wine or $2,000 wine or whatever, those things are that doesn't really feel, those things don't fill you up permanently. Now they fill you up. It's like drinking. I use the analogy junk food. It's like eating a bag of potato chips. Hey, they taste great while you're chomping on the potato chip. Tastes great. But what happens afterwards? Now you're potato chips. There's no nutrition. There's no lasting sense of satisfaction. You know what I'm talking about. You know the difference between feeling full with something of substance. Because I'm sorry, but that jukebox is only going to be making me feel good just for a moment. What happens when, see, the Beyoncé's, the Michael Jackson's, scratch Beyoncé, the Prince, the Michael Jackson, they were there living their gift, their destiny, their purpose. But what happens when they're off stage? What happens when they're not in front singing? What happens when the people with their gifts, from painting to party event planners, what happens when the party is over? You know, the big party, the big event, now it's over. What happens? And when I say what happens, does the peace go away? Can you find peace? In other words, are you able to dig in? Are you able to feel at peace without having to do something, without having to go somewhere, without having to have an event? That's the kind of peace I'm talking about, the peace that never leaves. And how to tap into that, how to stay there, how to live there. Is it possible? Yeah, it's possible when you practice. Practice what, Rebecca? Well, here we go. I already shared with you some of the things you practice eliminating. How about this one? These are some behaviors that subtract from happiness too. Living in the past, judgments, having a preference, resisting what is, trying to control someone or something, anything outside of yourself, taking things personally, assigning a label good, a label bad, the need to be right. Oh, I was around someone that needed to be right, and guess what? It wasn't me. It was someone else. The need to be right. And so all of those things subtract from your peace, subtract from your inner peace. And it's up to you. It's up to you if you want to prioritize it, if you're interested, if this is important to you. You have a commitment to practice. Make the commitment. Or not. The practice is endless, audience. It is endless, never ending. Practice not responding. It's easy to respond when someone talks. How about practice not responding? How about practice being in someone else's presence in silence? Woo, that's an uncomfortable one. Practice just being. Let go of the doing. All right. Reality spirituality is heard every Sunday at 9 a.m. Thank you for listening with me, and thank you for joining the show. My website is RebeccaNorrington.com. Follow me on Twitter at RLNorrington. And LinkedIn, and my Instagram handle is Reality Spirituality. My YouTube channel, I have a few videos on YouTube. I know, I'll get to it. I'm on it, it's on my list. So you can watch a couple of videos on YouTube that I have posted. And my first book, Reality Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness, can be purchased on Amazon. And my second book, Program for Unhappiness, is going to be out sometime this year. And until next week, my dear audience, I want you to remember who you are. You are a physical extension of the universe. You're always evolving. You're always changing. You're always growing. Love is patient and love is kind. Be patient and be kind to yourself. Be your own best friend. Remember, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. It is about the journey. You've been listening to Reality Spirituality Radio with yours truly, global happiness and internal peace specialist, Rebecca Lynn Norrington. Have a conscious week, and remember, happiness is a practice skill. Your experience in every moment is going to determine and reflect what you practice.
Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new experience.
Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Spirituality.
You got a question for RLM?
Reality. Spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Reality. Spirituality.
Oh, now we get real.
Get real.
Good now.
Get real good.
Now, that's what I'm about to say.
Time to get real.